Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He debuted for the Mets barely out of his teens. He was a solid major leaguer for more than a decade as a catcher and a utility player. And he's since been an Astros broadcaster for more than two decades. Alex Trevino, welcome to Glad to Have Met You.
Well, I'm here. Glad to be here.
So let's start with your Mets debut. You played briefly in 1978 at age 20, and then your first full year was in 1979 at 21 when you hit 271. Not bad for a 21-year-old, and as you know, Alex, back then in the late 70s, it was still pretty unusual for a kid that age to be playing in the big leagues. What was that like to be that young playing in New York?
Well, excited at that time. Things have changed a lot, you know, late 70s. At the same time, when I was signed, mid-70s, don't forget, New York Mets won the World Series 69, and I think they came back when 71, 72, something like that.
Well, they went to the series again in 73 and lost.
Yeah, 73, yeah, 73. So, fresh at a team that, you know, of course, they came into the league early 60s with a World Series and a trip to a World Series. But yes, an organization where they never saw or they never had that many Mexican players.
And so you come from Mexico at that young age, and I got to tell you that this is a crazy memory that I have of you. I'm going to take you back to May 8th, 1981, in the midst of Fernando Mania at Shea Stadium. It was Fernando Valenzuela's first start ever against the Mets. He shut you guys out. That made his record, Alex, at the time, 7-0 with five shutouts as a rookie in his first seven starts. And even though you guys lost, normally on Kiner's Corner, they only had the winning team's players on, but Ralph Kiner had you and the losing pitcher Mike Scott on, and I remember him mentioning he had you on because you had one of the hits off Fernando and you had caught him over in the Mexican League. What do you remember about that night? That was crazy.
Well, I remember about that time because even in Mexico, they never had a player that it was going to have that early success because he was fairly young himself. I believe he was 20, 21, something like that, too. But, yeah, I have played with Fernando back in Mexico. But you know what? When I played with Fernando, he didn't use the screwball. The screwball, he learned it in the States. So, you know, he perfected that pitch, and before you know it, he was an unbelievable pitcher. I don't know if it was that year or a year later where he finished like with 15 or 20 complete games. Something that you don't see that anymore.
And so because he didn't develop his signature screwball until he came over here, as you said, did you not have an idea over in Mexico that he was going to be that great?
No. To tell you the truth, I knew he was a pretty good pitcher. He was not overpowering. I think he topped 90 miles an hour, an average about 88. But with that screwball, I will say that screwball is part of it. But he had a great personality, a lot of consistency on his mechanics, and he always had a full tank. Because he hardly got tired.
Well, that's for sure, because as you pointed out, he had a ton of complete games. I mean, his first eight starts as a rookie were all complete games. He had one more after he beat you guys. So let's go back to some of your exploits. You were great at throwing out would-be base stealers. You actually led the National League, even though you were the backup catcher, a part-time player. You led the National League in both 1979 and in 1980 in caught stealing percentage as a catcher, 47%. And then 44%. But as you well know, Alex, base stealing is a lost art, and so catchers really aren't prepared to throw guys out anymore, are they?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I tell some of the players, you have to somehow, yes, I played throughout the 80s where if you didn't run well, you will not play in the big leagues. And I play in the same division as the Cardinals, if you guys recall.
Sure.
Those teams with the Cardinals, Coleman, McGee, Pendleton, Tom Herr. Almost the whole lineup, they were able to run. And of course, like what I was saying, I was in the same division.
How about the fact that you were, for most of your Met career, if not all of it, John Stern's backup? You also played some infield eventually, but you were a smaller guy for a catcher, Alex, and I wonder, do you think your size maybe prohibited you from becoming an everyday player, at least behind the plate?
Well, that's part of it, especially back then. They still they had that in mind, that a catcher should be able, or a good catch or a decent catcher should be able to catch 120, 140 games. In my situation, I was about 170, 75-pound catcher. And of course, one of one of the great things that keep me in the big leagues for a while is the ability to play different positions. A lot of players can play different positions, but behind the plate, that's a different story. But I was my main position was a catcher that play infield and the outfield. So that helped me out throughout my career.
In 1982, Alex, the Mets trade you to the Reds in the deal that brought George Foster to Shea Stadium. And at that time, Johnny Bench was still playing for Cincinnati, but I believe that was the year that he stopped catching and was only playing a couple of other positions. And so now you come to Cincinnati to play behind the plate, and you kind of shared the catching duties for a couple of years there with some other guys. But what was it like going behind the plate where Johnny Bench had played the position as well as anybody for all those years?
Well, first of all, I was in my early teens, I should say around 11, 12 years old, when I was watching the playoffs or World Series, Cincinnati Reds against, I believe it was the Orioles or the Red Sox, something like that, around 72, 1972, 70-72. And I said, you know what, I want to be like Johnny Bench. Little did we know that 10 years later, 10, 12 years later, he's my teammate. So that was amazing, you know, to me. And yes, when I got to Cincinnati, as a matter of fact, when I got to Cincinnati, they dismantled the big red machine. At that time, right when I got there, I think that winter and year before, Tony Perez is gone, Geronimo is gone, Pete Rose is gone, you know, all them guys. The only guys that were left from the old red machine was Concepcion. Actually, Cedar was there too.
Yeah.
Johnny Bench, and I think Driesen was there too. So, yeah, we got there, and I find out that the Cincinnati Reds was the little red machine.
So you wound up with a 13-year career for six different teams. In fact, you played a second time for both the Mets and Reds briefly your last year in 1990. But since then, after a nice career on the field, you've been the Astros Spanish language broadcaster for over 20 years. Now, after going through all those losing seasons in the broadcast booth in Houston, how about the fact that now they're one of the model franchises in baseball? You've seen it all.
Yeah. Things have changed. Things have changed. Sabermetrics, all kinds of stats making decisions for front offices. Although it's still baseball, you see a lot of good athletes still, you know. The only thing is that they've been able to use other things to make sure they're making the right decision when they sign these players at a colleges or through trades. But see, things have changed a lot. And, of course, technology. Technology, you know, technology came to play around, early 90s? You know, mid-90s, something like that. So, you know, throughout my career, there always been stats, but a lot more simple stats. But, yeah, things have changed.
And then finally, let me ask you about Justin Verlander. You being a former catcher, to what do you attribute most Verlander's ability? He had a little bit of a stutter step a few years back, right before the Astros got him, where he took a step back. But since he came to Houston, he's been as good as he ever was, if not better. What's the main reason he's still able to be so consistent?
You know, everybody loves to play for a winner, and when you're in a winning situation, a winning culture, and I experienced that a little bit throughout my career. It's a lot easier to play, and everything around you help you out to do better. So from teammates to the winning culture that's around. Yes, it seems to me like he has kicked it to a different gear, but it's still, you know, it's a pitcher that doesn't get hurt a lot, and therefore he hasn't lost much.
Well, Alex, you had a long, successful career on the field. You've had an even longer, more successful career in the booth doing the Spanish language broadcast for the Astros. Really great to talk to a guy who I watched growing up and continued success in Houston, my friend. And thanks for being with me here on Glad to Have Met You.
Glad to be with you. Nice talking to you. And I want to say a quick hello to all those baseball fans in New York. In New York, I lived there for about 10, 12 years. My daughters, they were born in Brooklyn. My wife is from the Bronx. So New York is a little space in my heart. No, I have a big space in my heart for New York.
Once a New Yorker, always a New Yorker, right,
that's
Alex?
That's right.
Good luck to you and the Astros. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.